It's time for America's most unique motorsports show, Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, along with producer Austin O'Neill. And we've got a good show lined up. We got a lot to talk about. A lot of stuff going on this last weekend. And we got a lot to talk about. Lee Spencer's going to join us here in a little bit. We'll talk about the truck race at Knoxville this last weekend. What'd you think of it? That's what I want to know. I want to know what the people out there thought of the truck race at Knoxville. Austin, did you get a chance to watch it? Me personally, I thought it was much better than last year. Your opinion?
Yeah, I agree with you. At least we're not sitting there talking about, you know, a wreck fest or you got to crash the pass and, you know, fall later around the bottom. It was right. Actually, the track was a lot better. Racing was better, and it was, you know, overall better show. I mean, this still had some issues with, you know, the broadcast and some other things right. We can get into. But, yeah, I mean, overall was better than last year.
All right, so you want to talk a little bit about the broadcast. I know from our discussion before we went on the air that you thought they spewed a little much too much Buddy Kofoid during the race.
Well, I caught probably a handful of things that I didn't, you know, agree with on the broadcast.
Spit them out.
Yeah, well, like you mentioned the first one, you know, Buddy Kofoid is not the only dirt driver in the field. You had Tyler Carpenter, who won that ride from Nice Motorsports for winning the 2021 Gateway Dirt Nationals.
Dylan Westbrook.
I mean, he's raced sprint cars forever. Stuart Friesen, they talked about him quite a bit. Yeah. But big block modified guy. He's done it all. Very successful. But all I talked about was Buddy. I mean, don't get me wrong. Buddy is very...
He's the up-and-coming
thing, though,
right?
But still, I mean, you gotta spread the wealth around. I mean, Tyler Carpenter ran, I think he drove from 6th to 2nd, 6th to 3rd in his heat race.
Right.
And not one thing was said about him. And he fell back. His truck kind of went away. But, I mean, that he won that ride for winning a big race, and he won $30,000 to go along with it. I mean,
right.
I have no problem, you know, sharing the love around for our dirt guys, but, you know.
Spread it around evenly. A little bit, right?
Yeah, I mean, come on, yeah. Just... It's not one guy, you know, running the show here, but it's just, I don't know. They could have talked about some of the other guys a little bit more, but yeah, you know, that's in the past now.
What'd you feel about the announcers of the broadcast?
Irrelevant to dirt racing,
right? They don't bring They don't bring enough knowledge. Do
no,
they?
What's Trevor Bayne backed into a win at Daytona in the 2011 Daytona 500? Besides that, he's done nothing in his career.
You know,
Kirk
Elliott thought he was going to be the next superstar.
I mean, he had potential to, but I said, I'll just use Kyle Busch's, you know, quote this year at Vegas on Alex Bowman. He backed into a win.
Right.
He's done nothing. I mean, he's floated around rides, and look, he's out of the sport now. He's an announcer and hits and does like 6 hit or miss races with Joe Gibbs in the Xfinity Series. And
right.
Yeah, you might have grown up watching sprint cars, but... I mean, yeah, we're at a truck race at Knoxville. I mean, it's not a sprint car race in Knoxville.
Right.
So,
yeah.
You never done anything on dirt, so you don't need to be on the broadcast. And that's when you need to bring in a Kevin Swindell, a Johnny Gibson, a Tony Bakhoven, Blake Anderson.
Well, Tony was already there. They should have used him.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care who you bring in. Bring in somebody that has a wealth of dirt knowledge.
You know what you need? You need somebody that has a wealth of knowledge about Knoxville and the history of the racetrack. And can spew a little bit about the knowledge of the years of experience. What's Tony been there? 27 years,
something
like that, right? So I think it was a big loss when they didn't use Tony Bakhoven for the broadcast.
I agree with you, and it's just my one thing I struggle with NASCAR is the announcers and all circuits they have is. They treat it like the fans that watch it, I feel like, that they always have to explain it to us, and like they have to dumb it down too much for the fans. Maybe it's just me that thinks like that, but you watch, you know, any other, like, you know, sporting series or F1, IndyCar, they tell you what's going on. They don't need to dumb it down and make it like we're 10 years old as the audience.
Right, right. Most motorsports fans are educated motorsports
fans.
And
if you don't know, look it up. Right. Do your part in wanting to know what's going on. And I love doing research on it. I don't know certain things on cars or, you know, sports, but I'll look it up and I'll do my part in figuring it out.
Right.
And tell us how it is. I mean, just
that's kind of the part of watching a broadcast, being able to do your own little research as you're watching the broadcast as well, right?
Yeah.
I kind of like to do that. I kind of surf around and try to find nuggets of information during a broadcast.
Yeah.
I'm sure, like you do.
Yeah. I mean, like, and, you know, I felt like they didn't, they, you know, like in the broadcast, there was just,
right.
I don't know, it's just, it didn't feel like a good broadcast. I mean, you listen to Johnny Gibson call an outlaw race. I mean, he calls it like you know what's going on. And,
right.
I mean, we go there as race fans that have spent years and years in the sport. We know what's going on.
So, just so you know, and Steve brought this up, Trevor had medical issues that set him back a little bit in his career.
Yeah, he had that.
He did.
Was it MS that he had? He had something. I remember his issues.
Right.
But, yes, that was.
But I never thought that Trevor Bayne was going to be a
superstar
at the Cup level. I never thought that. Kirk did. Kirk absolutely thought that he was going to be the next superstar because of his personality. I think what Kirk fell in love with was his personality. Because Trevor Bayne does have a good personality. He's a good
yes.
guy.
No, yeah. I've never disliked him for the person that he is, you know.
Right.
And then my next deal that I had an issue with the broadcast was, I didn't find out about this. You didn't know about it. Kirk didn't know about it until the day after the race. And, you know, when Jessica Friesen was stuck on the berm off of 3 and 4 and spent, you know, countless laps under yellow trying to get her hooked up to the tow truck, that she actually flipped. She didn't spin to getting high center on the berm. She flipped, you know, 3 or 4 times, and that was what caused her to be high centered up there. And
no video of it.
None. Fox, you have dozens of cameras, dozens of people in the trailer working the broadcast, and we missed that. I mean, the announcers didn't even know it happened. Besides, the only people that knew were people at the racetrack. Brett Moffitt got into an accident off of 4 and kind of down the front stretch where he got squeezed by a Taylor or Tanner Gray, one of the two. I think it was Taylor. And he kind of rode up the wall and kind of, you know, scuffed down the track on his door. And then, you know, he landed back on all fours and took the gray kid out. And was parked for the rest of the night.
Right.
And there's no replay of that. I mean, how do we miss that? How do we miss, you know,
with all the cameras they
I
have.
I get that. And we have, are we just sitting there on our phones just, you know, watching TikTok or Facebook the entire race? Just do your job.
I don't know.
I mean, pay attention to the race.
Listen, to be honest with you, when we did our broadcast, you know, there was times when we would run one camera and you would miss something that would happen.
Yeah, one camera.
But you got 10 cameras there at Knoxville.
10 cameras. Right. You got cameras on the top of cars. Stuart Friesen had a rock go through his and bust it, and they ran down there during the stage break and switched it out. I mean, how many cars started the race? 36?
Yeah.
And I bet you 36 of them had cameras on there, and there's no way that we missed that.
I doubt they had 36 cameras on
there. I mean, they probably had a couple, you know, dozen or so, but,
right.
I mean,
But that doesn't take away from the race. The race itself, I thought, was pretty decent, though. Didn't you think?
Yeah, I mean, it was, like I said, it was a lot better than last year. It's just, you know, it's the same deal where we're dealing with windshields and, you know, cars overheating or trucks overheating. And it's just, you know, we've said this for a long time. The windshields need to come out of it. The trucks need to, in my opinion, the windshield needs to come out of it. The truck needs to be raised up, you know, 2 or 3 inches off the ground so they can get air up under the nose.
Right.
And up to the radiator, because now we're so sealed off, you're not going to get any airflow besides your, it's probably a 6-inch tall box by a foot wide, getting to the radiator off the front of the truck, and then that gets clogged up with, what, dirt, and you don't have no airflow to the truck or the radiator and that's why you're having trucks overheat. So, you know, make that hole bigger, get the trucks off the ground,
and put the windshield out. Every truck that was out there had significant nose damage on their truck, didn't
and
he?
So if you notice, and remember in that heat race when Carson Hocevar got turned,
yep.
and he kind of got into the berm, and it knocked...
It took a chunk out.
A chunk of the splitter out.
Right.
And it's unfortunate that he blew up, but I really would like to know how the truck ran on temperature after that, because, I mean... That's a big gap to the radiator now, and I bet you the airflow was increased significantly, and I bet you it kind of helped the performance of his truck.
Yeah. Performance, motor performance-wise.
Yeah, I mean, it runs cooler, yeah, it's right. going to run better.
Mm-hmm. So here's the question. The crowd wasn't as big as I thought it was going to be up there, did you think?
I mean...
Kirk Elliott brought this up a little bit earlier. He's sitting over here in the corner. But was the crowd... lacking a little bit, do you think?
I thought it was you know, it's not, it wasn't as good as the Knoxville Nationals. I mean, that's, you know, sold out at 27,000 people.
Right.
You know, that's the front and the back stretch, you know, both filled plus suites in the Hall of Fame. And I mean, three quarters of the front stretch stands were full, in my opinion, right? You think that was you know, about the amount that they had, and the back stretch had probably 50 people. I mean, I think it was all right. I mean, it could have been better, but I mean,
can you justify bringing that race back again next year? Or do you think they need to find a new venue?
I'd go somewhere else.
I disagree with you. I think Knoxville is the place to do it.
We just
Knoxville centrally located, a lot of people. It's an easy destination for a lot of people to get to.
Right. I mean, that you're right on all that. It's just, until we can get something done to the trucks to make them race better on the dirt, I think you got to go to places like Eldora that produce better racing. I mean,
More banking?
Yeah, so with Eldora, not Eldora, with Knoxville being so flat and the trucks being, what, 3,400 pounds?
Right.
I mean, they're heavy tanks. And they don't have a lot of horsepower. So as the track starts to widen out, they can only get so wide. And we saw it. Track
right.
was about yep. halfway up,
yep.
And they couldn't maintain the speed if the track got any wider. So, and then the track prep too. I mean, it's just they raced on such a small part of the track that they burnt the moisture up in it too fast, and it just once that you had two lanes there for a while. The bottom and the top was working pretty well when the track had a fresh rework on it, and then once that stuff got blown off, I mean, we just went single file. And I think if they could have moved the track up, you know, higher.
Right.
That and that it was fast enough up there to hold the moisture for, you know, 50 laps was the stage. I mean, if it could have held moisture for that long, I think you could have had, you know, typical Knoxville racing where you ran on the bottom and the top and had side-by-side racing.
Is it a theme right now? We see a lot of tracks blowing a lot of dust right now. A lot of racetracks are blowing dust. You think that's because the... Again, it goes back to the fuel. Do you think that a lot of racetracks aren't willing to spend the money it takes to do proper track prep? Because how many racetracks have we seen in the last week or two that are just blowing all kinds of dust?
So, a couple. I know the probably one you're thinking of the most is Lima Land.
Yeah.
I was watching Swindell's video about Lima Land, and supposedly, from what Kevin said, the track prep guy was sick, and I guess nobody else
knew how to do it.
Could do it. Mm-hmm. That's what we got stuck with that Lima Land. But I mean, Knoxville is even on the weekly shows, they have a really good track prep program, and even at the Nationals, and actually just all year in general, they have a good track prep program.
Yeah, Knoxville's exceptional.
And then you get to the truck race, and it's, you know, kind of dusty in one lane. It's just because of the windshields and the way the trucks are. You have to keep it so dry and slick that to keep the trucks from packing full of mud.
Mudding up the windshield.
So,
right.
But, I mean, some tracks just either don't know how to do track prep, don't want to spend the money on it, put the time into it, or have the equipment to do it. And that's why. Plus, also, I mean, it's 88 degrees right now. It was almost 95 yesterday, 100 Saturday. I mean, it's just... In June, we shouldn't be having this weather, but, I mean, it's so hot. Now you're trying to fight that and everything else that we have going on.
Yeah. So you raced this weekend, didn't you?
I did, last night.
You went down to Double X Speedway. They had a $2,000 to win race down there. It took a little rubber down there last night, though, didn't it?
Yeah, so... that place is, it's always known for being really smooth, but really slick. Right. I have no problem with it being slick if it's racy. But we ran a hot laps, and it had a lot of moisture content in it, and it was really good. And I'm like, all right, we might have a good track for some of the heat races, maybe a little early on the feature.
How many classes did they have?
Three. Hmm. They had 10 pure stocks, 10 stock cars, and like 13 or 14 sprint cars.
Yeah.
And after hot laps, track was in good condition. They ran they had four heat races before the sprint cars.
Was it still narrow during the hot, heat races?
No, it actually
widened out.
It went from having moisture in it to being hard and slick top to bottom in four stock car heat races that had five cars in them in a piece. I couldn't believe how fast it blew off, and it kind of caught me off guard. And we made some adjustments to kind of compensate for it, but I could have went up a little farther. And then we ended up racing the bottom in one and two in the heat race, and top in three and four.
Did they run you last?
Yep.
So here's where I say that a lot of racetracks where they drop the ball a little bit. I think a lot of the racetracks, when they see the track conditions changing and getting drastic, I think what they need to do is, if they've got a premier division, run that premier division first before they run all the other stock car classes. You said there was only three classes down there. There was, what, 15 cars in the stock cars. What else did they run down there?
They had pure stock cars and sprint cars. They had about 10 cars in the stock car divisions.
Right. But don't you think that if they see track conditions are going to deteriorate, that they need to go ahead and run the premier division first? Would you agree with that?
I would. I mean, yeah. I would. But that's just, I guess that's not how they do it down there. Then you get to the feature and we're last, and it's, you know, as hard as the table we're sitting at, and darker than dark, and it just got really slow and abrasive around the bottom, and it took rubber, and you sat there and followed each other. And
there's nothing worse than following people on the bottom.
It sucks. Yeah. And in the rubber, because you're sitting there, you take off on the back stretch, and it's like a drag cart feels like, and then you get to the corner, and you're just, you know, you're at walking pace almost. And
right.
It wasn't a typical double X track. You know, they worked on it for, you know, 3 or 4 hours before the race got started.
They normally do a pretty good job.
They do,
there.
And I don't know what got away from them this time. You know, probably the heat, but you know, it's just kind of what it is.
It has to be the heat,
yeah.
Right? I mean, that track's sitting down there all week just baking.
Yeah.
In the heat. And then you can try to come in there maybe the day before and try to start working the track a little bit and try to put some moisture into it and whatnot. But I think the damage is already done when it sits there and just bakes all week long.
Yeah. I mean, track preps for a lot of these tracks that are good starts on Sunday or Monday. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not just a Saturday morning deal. And, you know, it's just, it sucks that we have to race on that. But I was kind of surprised that it hurt my right rear tire a little bit, but it's still good enough to maybe do a little tire work to it and run it again somewhere else, maybe in a heat race or a hot lap session.
Yeah.
But my left rear, I mean, it has a little wear, but I mean, run it again this weekend. And
yeah, no blisters, nothing.
No, my right front took an abuse, but when tracks get slow like that, you know, your right front's the one that will go the first. But, you know, my issue with that event they had, it paid an extra $2,000 to win. And, you know, I was really hoping that they would have brought some of that pay back through the field and helped out. You know, like
They dropped the $2,000 on top of the regular purse.
Yeah, I mean, I had an all right night. I just got stuck on a bad pill draw and a bad heat race, and you know, ran eighth. Mm-hmm. And I made $225, and I spent $200 in fuel. Then you add in pit passes and
rebuild tires
and all that. I lost a little bit of money. That's racing. You do that, but
yeah.
I mean, it doesn't justify me going down there on a Sunday night.
Just doesn't add up.
To race for no money in the back. And I mean, and Kyle said it, that, you know, we're racing for the win. I get that. That's why we go race. We race for the win. But you got to help support the guys that don't win.
Right.
Because the ones that, only one person wins. You need more than just one car down there to have a good race.
I've always said this, Austin, that the guys that run in the middle of the pack and the back of the pack are more important than the winners. Because
yeah.
Those guys spend the same amount of money to come and race, and they know they're not going to win. So those guys are more important than anybody else, really. Because if you don't have mid-pack and the back-of-the-pack guys there, you're going to have a short field of cars, and it's not going to be very good racing. Would you agree?
You're exactly right.
Yeah.
You know, that's why tow money and start money is so important. I mean, you're not going to make any money off of tow money and start money, but you can break even and justify coming back the next week.
Yeah.
You know, that's the biggest thing to racing.
Yeah. Marie is back with us. Gosh, we have missed you, Marie. She said the Grove suffered heat and windy, she said. I really don't think any of could fight. What is that? A why of those elements. You know, it's tough, really, this time of year. You know, and the toughest thing about it is that we know that we have a tire shortage, right? And burning up tires is not something that anybody wants to do right now. They want to try to be able to use that tire, maybe like you said, maybe use your right rear to run it in a heat race, or maybe or something else, or hot laps, for that matter.
If this was last year, and I ordered the year before, and I was, you know, had 10 tires sitting in the shop, or 15.
I
had a good stockpile, that tire would be sitting at double X right now, that right rear tire. I would just leave it there. But, you know, I can't get any, can't find any. They don't last. So now I'm forced to break out the Groover and re-groove it and put some swipes in it and hope it lasts 8 more laps.
Yeah. Listen, James, we're going to talk a lot about some of the other racing that was going on this weekend. We're going to do that after we get done visiting with Lee Spencer, Brady Bacon, Ryan Timms, Logan Seavey, Sheldon. He picked up, he sweeps up at Beaver Dam. Chris Madden wires there at Maryville. Brett Marks there at Portsmouth. So we're going to talk a lot about that, right? But first, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk to Lee Spencer a little bit more about the truck race that happened up at Knoxville, the sprint car capital of the world. We'll talk to Lee Spencer about that next here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. We'll be right back with Lee Spencer.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Here at Specialty Sports, we're in-house. We do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, and make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9 hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor. And joining us now on the show is Racing Boys Only Spencer. How you doing, Lee?
Good. How's it going?
Oh, we're doing all right. We're just sitting here kind of... I think we're complaining more about the broadcast of the truck race more than we are about the race itself. I thought the race was pretty good, didn't you?
Oh, it was awesome from where I was sitting. I mean, you don't get the broadcast audio, but heck, I think I saw more being there than they did broadcasting the race out of Concord, Charlotte, North Carolina. I mean, I if you're not invested, let somebody else do it. That's kind of my feeling, because when you're the TV network and you miss somebody flipping on the racetrack, that's inexcusable to me.
Well, how does that even happen? How do they have so many cameras
there? How do you not have spotters at the racetrack?
Right.
I mean, seriously, it's a half-mile track.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that it's dusty at night, but my gosh, you know, do your damn job.
Yeah. No, I'm
with
you.
You had one job.
Yeah. Do you think that they need a better crew to call the race? Do you think they need more?
No. This is not on the people in the booth. This is on the people in the truck.
Right.
You know, there's a huge difference, right? I mean, because the thing of it is that if you're actually there at the racetrack, then you can see what's going on.
Yeah.
But I don't fault them, because this is so much above their pay grade, right? I mean, these are the people that are in LA that make those calls and make those decisions. And I mean, we've seen it done in Formula One for years. They've, you know, that's just how they operate. But
right.
I mean, you cannot, I mean, half mile dirt track, you have got to have spotters in both the corners, somebody on the back stretch to let people know what's going on. And if you're not in the booth, then it's just a critical, critical error on their part.
No, I'm with you. But me personally, I would like to see somebody in the booth like a Kevin Swindell, or somebody that knows the history of Knoxville a little bit more, like a Tony Bockhoven.
Tony was doing Tony's thing, right? I mean, you know, and Tony,
yeah.
Tony, nobody does it better than Tony. I think Tony's one of the best in the business.
No, there's no doubt about it.
But, you know, I agree. And you guys used to do that when you were, you know, when you still had the broadcast rights for Chili Bowl. You would bring in people who were
experts,
who were, you know, state of the art experts. I thought that the people that were in the booth, they were fine. I mean, I'm not. You know, I think if you've been off the track for 20 years, you need to find go enjoy your retirement, right? Because you really, you don't have a clue.
Right, I'm saying, really.
But, you know, Trevor Bayne's a great guy. Trevor Bayne knows racing. Trevor Bayne does not know dirt, right? I mean, seriously. And, you know, Jamie did a great job. I mean, kudos to her for being there. I mean, Vince knows her, but Vince's daughter was getting married this weekend, and so he had a previous commitment.
Yeah.
But that still doesn't take away from the fact that there was absolutely no reason other than financial to have somebody at the racetrack this weekend.
You know who
and
I
they dropped the ball.
You know who I thought would have been a good fit for that broadcast because of his Chili Bowl background and the shootout background? Chris Wilner would have been a good fit for that broadcast.
Well, they could have put him on, you know, pit road, but
Jamie does
a whole nother ball game too.
Yeah, Jamie does a fantastic job. I'm a big fan of Jamie Little, to be honest with you. What'd you think about
the debut of Trucks was excellent. Really did. But you know, I think they're at a different. She's at a disadvantage. She's challenged by not being able to see what's in front of her.
Right.
The entire track.
Right. There was the young girl named Heather that they debuted this weekend. And to be honest,
she's been on. Yeah.
Yeah, but to be honest with you, I didn't think she was that bad. I thought she brought some knowledge because she has a little bit of a dirt background.
Homework. She works for PRN. She does a good job for PRN. I mean, I thought she was fine, but you're absolutely right. You know, I've heard what Chris does with Cameron when he pulled in there, and given his background, the fact that he knows Dirk,
right,
he would have been a great, a great addition.
So let's talk a little bit about the race itself. What did you think about the race? Todd Gilliland, he picks up the win. John Hunter Nemechek runs second. Zane Smith third. What did you think of that race?
I thought it was 100% better than last year.
Yeah.
I'm not sure whether or not they'll go back, but I thought it was 100% better than it was last year.
It's funny. Kirk brought that up. We were just talking about that during the commercial break, that we're not sure if they're going to get that race back again. What are your thoughts on that?
I'm not sure either. And I'm just not sure that NASCAR, the jury's out for me as far as whether or not NASCAR needs to be on dirt unless it got, you know, dirt cars or doing something in that direction. I mean, I think it's great. It was great for the trucks. Bristol put on a great race across the board. But I'm just, I just don't know if the broadcast team's not going to be there. If you just want to watch it and listen to it on MRN, you're going to get your money's worth. If you're expecting to know what's going on watching Fox, then, they're kind of spinning their wheels. And,
yeah.
I'm just so disappointed that they weren't there and didn't show up and, missed so much of the nuance of what was going on that racetrack.
I mean, if Fox needs to step up and spend some money and get these people on location, right? That's the bottom line.
But they've been doing this for years. And like I said, Formula One did it long before Fox did. And, it's really all you have, right? But
yep.
How do you miss somebody flipping? How do you miss somebody
amazing.
Who grew up on dirt, but, hits the berm and goes for a ride. And the berm was pretty nasty, right?
Yeah.
But it's like for TV to miss, I'm just kind of speechless because it just blows my mind that one of the, something that should be, quote, highlight reel material doesn't even make the broadcast. To me, that was just kind of crazy.
Yeah.
They didn't do it once. They did it twice. They missed Brett Moffitt's kind of semi-flip down the front stretch, too.
Did you hear that, Lee?
I'm sorry, what was that again?
All right,
sorry.
Turn your mic up a little bit there, Austin.
Yeah, well, they didn't miss the... they missed not one thing, they missed two things. They missed Brett Moffitt half-flipping down the front stretch.
I'm at a disadvantage because we had an extra computer up there because there are no TV monitors, right? But Tony was on, they had the PA on for the audio in the press box. So I had no idea how or what TV was reporting. So, you know, I'm at a disadvantage to talk about that. But, I mean, we kept looking because I heard on the radio monitoring the team somebody say, you know, Stuart Freese and it flipped. Well, it wasn't Stuart. It was Jess. And,
right.
You know, so I kept looking for a replay and looking for a replay and nothing.
Yeah.
So.
Right.
You know, that part of it was difficult, but it's hard to cover a race when you're used to having all the bells and whistles. And I've got to tell you, I've been to better prepared, broadcast, from World of Outlaws that, you know, I'm getting more information to me than I was this weekend.
You know, they might be just better off letting Dirt Vision do the broadcast for them.
They would certainly know what they're talking about, right? I mean, you need more pit reporters, but I mean, we're beating a dead horse because they're not going to spend the money.
Right, right. Were you a little disappointed in Buddy's performance? He ended up running 11th. Were you a little set back by that? I was a little bit.
I'm sorry, who again?
Buddy Kofoid.
Oh, I'm going to send you guys an interview I do with Buddy after the race, and I think that, you know, he kind of speaks to all of that. I apologize. We got in late yesterday, and I've been at the gym this morning, but I will send you a one-on-one I did with Buddy right after the race, and I think he can fill that in. He is so dirt-centric, and the feedback that he gives to the team is absolutely phenomenal, but unless you're familiar with dirt on the crew chief side, because Buddy wants to get better. Buddy is constantly thinking about what he can do to improve his craft. And I mean, right. This was a constant thing on the radio. If I do this, will it do that? If I do this, will it, you know, what do I have to do to be better here? You know, how do I measure up against the best guys on the track right now? I mean, he's constantly wanting to know where the bar is set so he can reach it and surpass it.
Yeah.
And I don't, you know, this is nothing against KBM. I just don't think they have the right support system in place for me to do the Buddy things that he's capable of doing. And
right.
I don't mean that to be, you know, any, you can't say it's the team, right? The team won the
right.
last two races in the 51 truck. So, on pavement, hey, you know, hunky-dory. But when you bring in somebody who is a dirt specialist like Buddy and you expect him to make a smooth transition, there needs to be somebody that is really understands dirt to be on the other side of the radio for him.
Right, right. I, you know, the lack of knowledge for the guys that are they're pavement guys. Let's just face it. That's what they are. They're engineers. They're pavement guys, and that's all they know.
And that's not a knock against them, right?
No, and it's not.
But dirt racing is a specialization,
right?
And you know, it was. I really felt bad for Tyler Carpenter because Tyler Carpenter had the opportunity to, you know, go out and just do Tyler Carpenter things, and mm-hmm. you know, you're going to get. You will get 110% every time that hillbilly gets on the race.
Right, right, yeah, right. Right.
And I don't mean that pejoratively because he will, you know, he's the kind of guy that will, you know, he calls himself a hillbilly. I mean, it's, you know, that's just how he, you know, that's just how he, what a great guy. I mean, you know, Mark Martin, I tweeted an interview I did with Tyler on, you know, on Twitter and live tweeted it. And Mark Martin said, we need more guys like that in NASCAR. You know, because these, the guys that are coming in, they are, you know, they're clean and, you know, it's just not, they're not colorful people. We need characters if we're going to build this sport. And he's certainly one of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, you know, he was another one. I mean, it was so bizarre because he and Carson Hosford, their trucks went away at the very on the same lap. I mean,
right.
All of a sudden, you know, Tyler stopped on the front stretch, and Carson was reporting that he had no power, and so it was like, You know, that kind of ended too quickly too. But right. I mean, there were a lot of different storylines. At the end of the day, you had two multi-generational NASCAR, sons on Father's Day Eve going for the win. And I mean, yeah. What more can you ask for at that point?
Yeah. I got to bring up a little bit of a question here. Marie, she's one of our regular listeners on here. Out of all the divisions in NASCAR, I would be at a track for trucks. Normally truck races do not pull a lot of fans, dirt or not. Fans don't support the trucks normally. At least that is how I feel about it. That's how Marie feels about it. But were you a little disappointed in the crowd size at Knoxville this year?
Well, a friend of mine who grew up, her father raced on dirt, and, she's just always been a dirt fan. She said, You're expecting people in Knoxville that support local dirt racing to show up and fill the stands, and it's not going to happen. And I was a little disappointed. I mean, I didn't see anything, I didn't see a lot of advertising for it in the area. Certainly coming off of Gateway and how much, what the outreach was in the community compared to what I saw at Knoxville, it was like night and day. And so if you're not going to do the pre-race preparation to get people out, then you're going to pay the price at the turnstile.
Yeah, no doubt. I got to bring it up, and I hate to bring it up, to be honest with you, because it's such a tragic story. Clint Bowyer wasn't on the broadcast last weekend. We've found out since that he was involved in an accident where a lady lost her life as he was coming back from Gateway, I would assume. And it turns out the lady had some issues going on. It sounds like they found some methamphetamine on her. Gosh, you just got to feel terrible for Clint Bowyer right now.
Oh, I mean, it's terrible. It's, that's a heavy cross to bear, whether, it was voluntary, it was involuntary. It wasn't something that was, it wasn't something that could have been avoided. It was an accident, plain and simple. And so for that reason, you hate that he was put in that position. And, it's probably good that it happened on the penultimate race for Fox, because, he can just spend some time and get his head together, because I think, that's going to be necessary under these conditions.
I don't know how anybody could get past no matter what, because obviously she died on the scene, and you would have to know that if you were there, and how much that would bother a person. And I don't know if I could ever get over the guilt of something like that.
I mean, it's a tough deal. I mean, that's probably the only thing you can say about it, is it was a tough deal, and it's just really unfortunate. And
spoke to Clint? Do you know anybody that has spoke to Clint since this happened?
I think people in the, from the broadcasts have talked to him, but I mean, I'm only getting that secondhand. I mean, I don't feel comfortable
asking those questions,
reporting
right,
on the situation, because since I've not spoke with him or done any reporting on, with the authorities, so... I would be at a loss.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, our thoughts are with Clint Bowyer right now. That's got to be a terrible place, a mental state. It has to be a terrible place to be mentally. And then it happens at a place that you like to get away to, that brings a lot of joy to your life, down at the lake. And now this happens down at the lake.
He's had a place down there for a while, from what I understand.
Yeah, my neighbor, my friend, Travis Siebert, had a house right next door to Clint. And and I know that Kyle Larson was hiding out, he was hiding out down there at Clint Bowyer's lake house for a little bit as well. So.
Oh, yeah, they're good buddies, and that doesn't surprise me in the least.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, Lee, what do you got coming up on Racing Boys? You got some stories you're going to be putting up here pretty quick?
Yeah, I'm going to do a follow-up on what we saw this weekend. I mean, I thought overall it was a great show. And, I think that, you know, they did the track did a much better job this time around. The drivers did a better job, you know, having been there and gone through it once. And, you know, just on an aside, I thought it was a little nugget I put in my story, and I don't know if you saw it or not, but the fact that I thought John Hunter Nemechek, the fact that he goes to Millbridge, you know, on a pretty regular basis, yeah. And this is a kid who had never raced on dirt before, and then the week before the race, he was watching World of Outlaws at Knoxville just to kind of study what goes on at that racetrack. Yeah. I got to give him a lot of kudos for just putting the effort in to do the necessary prep to, you know, to get ready for that race, because, you know, he took all the tools in his toolbox and tried to make the most out of it, came out of it with second place finish and the points lead. And if they don't have that late caution, we're probably talking about John Hunter Nemechek as the winner today.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, Lee, we appreciate you taking the time to join us on Mostly Motorsports every Monday. Travel safe. Are you going to the track this weekend?
We are. We will be at Nashville, and then we're going up to the Road America race.
Oh, good for you.
From this weekend, and so can't wait to do that either. But I will send you all the buddy sound, and you can do with it what you need to.
All right. Lee, thanks so much. We appreciate you.
Take care, guys.
All right, there you have it, Lee Spencer. We're going to take a break. It's Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. We'll be right back with more here on Mostly Motorsports.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Sure, especially sportswear in-house. We do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business to make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9 hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines.
Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back. It's Mostly Motorsports here today. It's a Monday. We've been talking a lot about what happened up at Knoxville, and we want to remind everybody that right now they've got a track tribute to Ascot Park up there at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. It's right over there off of Turn 2. If you were watching the races this weekend, you could see the Hall of Fame as the trucks went by it every lap up there at Knoxville. What a great exhibit they have going on right now up there. Ascot Park was in Gardena, California. Great racetrack. Great history. A lot of drivers cut their teeth that raced back there in the day. It closed back in the 80s. And they have a great tribute right now going on through October 1st up at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. You can go up there and check out one of many cars that are up there. They've also got helmets, drivers' uniforms, information about the drivers that race there as well. It's a great exhibit, folks, and it's going to go through now through the end of October, or at the 1st of October, I should say, October 1st. So go up there and check it out, man. It is a great exhibit. We also want to remind everybody that they still have the raffle going on for the 2022 IMSA GTLM Championship Edition C8R Corvette. That drawing is going to take place on Saturday, August, I should say. Why did I say October? August 16th during the Knoxville Nationals. And if you can't make it there in person, you can always do it online at Champion or at Corvette. C8RContest.com. That's Corvette, C8RContest.com. And have a chance to win this Corvette. It's worth about, well, we saw a charity auction, Bob did, on Barrett Jackson. It brought $300,000. I saw one online the other day for sale for $150,000. So there's a lot of money at stake right there if you'd like to have a chance to win this championship IMSA GTLM Championship Edition C8R Corvette. Again, you can do so at Corvette C8RContest.com. That's Corvette C8RContest.com. And don't forget, they still have the raffle going on for the 2022 Triple X Chassis 410 Sprint Car. They're going to be doing the drawing on that up during the Knoxville Nationals. That'll be on Friday, December 16th. And if you can't make it, again, in person to get up to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, you can always do it by going to SprintCarRaffle.com. That's SprintCarRaffle.com. And you have a chance to win this car, man. It is a beautiful 2022 Triple X chassis, and it's got a great 410 engine in it. So if you want to try to win that Sprint Car or the Corvette, all you've got to do is just go to SprintCarRaffle.com, or you can go to Corvette C8RContest.com for a chance to win either one of those. Which one would you rather have, the 410 Sprint Car, or would you rather have the Corvette, Austin?
Sprint Car.
Just because you want to run 410, right? You're ready to
I just want more cars.
Just more cars.
I got one complete one, I got a frame, and about 45% of the parts to put one together, and add a complete car to the operation would really help me out.
Yeah.
like it would do to anybody else. Not the only one.
You'd probably sell the frame, though, wouldn't you?
Of course I would.
Yeah, I know you would. All right, let's talk about Ryan Timms. He sweeped up there at Husetts.
And Jackson.
Picked up three wins, right?
Yes.
And for those three wins, he gets a bonus of $10,000. What about that?
It's incredible. Just, I mean, you look at the people he raced against the competition up at Jackson. Right. You had Brown there the second night, Jennison, Matt Jewell. I believe some of the McCarls were there.
Yeah, they were.
Tatnall was there. I mean, you look at the guys that he beat, and it's not the first time he's done it. But I believe it was one of his first wins at Jackson.
Yeah.
And to do it back to back to back.
Started ninth.
And he didn't start on the front row.
Right.
In any
he
of
started
them.
Ninth.
He started on the front row of the one on Saturday. But I mean, that program that they have going on right now with Jimmy, Matt, and Billy, and
they got
and Ryan.
On.
I mean, that's the dream team if you can make one.
Right.
And I mean, to pick up $15,000 is good in a weekend. Then you add a bonus of 10. I mean, they're just living the dream right now, aren't they?
Yeah, no doubt. You know, who I was pulling for last night? Ayrton.
I was too. I was on the way home from Double X. We had our phones out watching the race, and you know he fired off good, and it was looking like the way the track was, he'd be all right.
And he was working the traffic pretty good too.
Yeah, and that's the biggest thing of Houston. And we saw it when Timms got the lead that. You know, there's a couple times that Ayrton was a little closer. He would have got to Ryan and maybe had a shot with two to go.
Yeah.
Because there was probably a lap or two there that Ryan made mistakes coming off of 2 and 4 with lap cars.
Right.
And it almost cost him the race. And, once they had that yellow and he was able to get by Ayrton, that was it for Ayrton and Ryan. It's just you watch Ryan's car on the restart. It takes off. And within a lap and a half, he has a straightaway lead on him. And
it gets a ton of grip, that car man.
I mean, it's a rider engine, which is one of the best you can have. And then you put a good setup on there and a good driver. I mean, it's just a recipe for success. And, man, I couldn't believe when I watched it last night how big of a lead he had in that short amount of time. I'm like, all right, that's
and how
I've never
fast Tim's
before.
Running down.
Yeah, I mean,
that was unbelievable because he was out like what half a straightaway on him, and he run him down like in a couple laps. It was amazing. I don't know what Tim's and Jimmy Jones is doing to that car to make it get so much grip, and so much forward bite. But man, that thing gets a ton of it, doesn't it?
That's just when you want to sit down and just pick Jimmy's brain, his brain for like. An hour. I'll do an hour. If not, just give me a little bit of time. I just want to talk to you. That's all I want to do. It's just, I mean, there's...
Maybe we'll do that when we get out to I-70. Maybe
just,
he can help you a little bit.
He's done it forever. I mean, and the people he's done it with. I mean, you told me Mark Kinzer, and he's been on the Outlaw too for so long. It's just, experience is everything.
I thought Austin McCarl was going to get around Ayrton there right at the end, didn't you? Because he was putting the heat on him right there in those last couple laps.
Yeah, I think the lap traffic just kind of sealed the deal on anybody moving around in the top five or so.
Yeah. So, Brady Bacon, man oh man, he kind of put him on him at Bloomsburg, didn't he?
Yeah, I thought Speed or that Eastern Storm ended at Port Royal. Don't know why I thought that. I need to go back and catch Bloomsburg, but... if you don't mind, we'll jump to Port Royal, but I mean, that place never fails to deliver, doesn't it?
No, never. Logan Seavey doubles up at Port Royal too. That was pretty good for him. Pretty good weekend.
Yeah. I mean, that sprint car race was really good. And you know, you watched, you know, it was him, Bacon,
Westfall
was in the Silver Crown car. Shane Cottle and Emerson Axel. I mean,
about the Silver Crown car. Yeah.
Sprint car.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, they were all four right there, and they all were running different lines. At the bottom, the middle, and the top was working, and Cottle was just kind of searching around behind them. And, I mean, when non-wing racing's on a track that slick, it's usually not that good. But And it's really good for wing racing, as we see on a weekly basis there. And to see the non-wing cars run that good, it's like, it just shows how good of a track Port Royal is and how good the track prep is. And Now, that was a really good race, and then you go to the Silver Crown race after CV wins the sprint car race, and he's just knocking the boards down in the Silver Crown car, and Pat kind of mentioned it. You don't race those cars that way. You can tell right. Who the old guys are, who the young guys are in Silver Crown racing, because all the old guys race it like a pavement car on dirt, just really slow right. and straight and taking it really easy, because I mean, they don't race like a normal sprint car. And then you have the young kids like an Axum or a CV, and they're just knocking right ear off of it. And no, though that was probably the best show of the weekend right there at Port Royal.
Sheldon Hodgshield, he sweeps Beaver Dam.
That was a heck of a run.
Yeah.
I knew on Friday with it having the extra moisture in it that he would be really hard to beat. And he proved me right on that. And then Saturday with it kind of being slicker. I mean, Sheldon's good on any surface. But he's really good when it's heavy and kind of rough. And with it kind of being slicker, I'm like, well, maybe he'll kind of fade here. And he didn't. And he was just as good as he was the night before. And who kind of surprised me at Beaver Dam on Saturday was Donnie. Yeah. Donnie fired off on that last restart and drove by, two or three cars and got up in the top three. And you haven't seen Donnie run that good in a while.
Yeah. Wayne Johnson, he picks up the Lucas Oil ASCS National Sprint Car Tour race at Boot Hill. I think the biggest shocker in that one was Blake Kahn was leading that race, and he caught a Uke tire. I think he would have won that race if it wouldn't have been for catching that Uke.
When are tractor tires going to be banned or removed from all dirt tracks? I mean, they're
Uke tires, especially. Anything. If you were to bury a half a tire and run it down through the corner and just a half a tire up,
yeah,
you can run over that tire and it maybe not do so much damage.
We saw that at Lima Land.
Yeah, but how many times have we seen guys just knock the front end out from the Uke tires down there in the infield?
I've been victim to it. I destroyed a car at Devil's Bowl by hitting one.
You did?
Yeah, I mean, it killed it. It's just, and they don't move.
No,
they'll hurt you and the car.
What about burying a half tire down?
Something.
Yeah.
That or
that way
a berm
it just
on
gives
it.
You a line through there, and it keeps you from wanting to get down too low, because if you do, you're still going to hit those tires, but it's, at least it's not going to bend your frame, right?
Frame or hurt you. I mean, you come from, let's say you run an average of 100 through the corner at, let's say, Devil's Bowl. Let's say your average is, say 90 to 100. I'm probably off, but... And you go to a dead stop after I hit a tractor tire, that's going to hurt. That's not going to be good. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would do, if I had it my way, you just bury it like a truck tire or a car tire. Just don't do it like Lima Land. Lima Land, let's say they had, five, and they were spread out maybe 8 foot between each one.
You couldn't even see the cars at Lima Land.
I don't know, but they had those tires down there. There wasn't enough to keep them from running under them. Add some more where if you drive over them, like Alex Bowman did, and caught it the wrong way, it almost will flip you.
Yeah, no doubt. And then we'll finally wrap up with Brett Marks. He wins it there at Portsmouth, and Justin Peck claims the 2022 Ohio Sprint Week. Any thoughts about that?
20,000 to Brent. We'll just start calling him Mr. 20,000. 20,000 at Devil's Bowl, 20,000 at Portsmouth, and he's won a couple other, not as big paying races between those two events, but kind of a dominating run by him. And then I'm not surprised that Peck won the championship at all. He was super consistent all week, and then was he the only one that won two races?
I think
he was the only one that won two. And then he kind of said, I heard an interview with him and Blake Anderson before the speak week got started, that he wanted to win it. He was gonna do everything he could do to win speed week, and he did it just right. I mean, he was consistent, had good run, didn't make very many mistakes. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, that's what you got to do for nine nights of racing. I mean, if he had nine nights over, 2 months, then it wouldn't be as hard as, going back-to-back every night.
Yeah, I believe he won earlier in the year at Williams Grove in April, too. So,
yeah.
No doubt about it. All right, well, listen, you got any other thoughts you want to get in before we get out of here? Anything in particular?
I think we covered it. We did a good job at telling Fox. They did an awful job in Knoxville.
Yeah. Not a very good job for them, for sure. All right. Well, we want to thank everybody for tuning in to the show again today. It's good to see Marie back hanging out with us again. It's always good to see her. She's always brings it when she talks about it. Hey, how about this weekend, I-70 Speedway? We're going to talk a little bit about that tomorrow with Terry Maddox, right? We're talk about what's going to happen this weekend at I-70. You looking forward to it?
I am.
Yeah.
Now I got to go home. You know, I raced last night.
So now you got to go do your maintenance and clean the car and everything?
Yeah, I spent probably an hour and a half at Double X last night getting the car prepped for car wash when I get home. So I got to run the car wash and start my maintenance, and hopefully I get it done in 3 nights. So
yeah.
I'm a short week ahead of me.
Yeah, all right. Well, have a good one, man. Don't work too hard. For Austin O'Neill, for my partner Kirk Elliott, I'm Scott Traylor, saying thanks for joining us here on Mostly Motorsports. We'll do it all again tomorrow. Terry Maddox is going to join us. We'll talk about the race that's going to happen out at I-70 Speedway tomorrow, and probably a little bit more about some of the stuff going on in Terry's life. He's got a lot happening when it comes to sprint car racing. So Terry Maddox joins us tomorrow here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all been brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. We'll see you tomorrow, 12 noon Central Time, right here on Mostly Motorsports.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for sprint car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.